All right, welcome back. My name again is Steve Elzinga, and you are in the pre-marriage coaching class. It's one of the most important badges that you can earn in terms of coaching. And we're going to be looking at the seven connections that a couple should have as they walk towards this thing called marriage. All right. Just a little comment about the premarital life coach book. This is just hot off the press. I don't even have it bound yet. It can be used as a coaching guide with a couple. The coach has a copy. Each of the individuals that want to get married, they have a copy, and you can just go through it page by page. It can be used as a Bible study. You can do, let's say you had three or four couples that are, wanting to get married. You could do it together as a Bible study, or you could do it as a retreat. It's set up to do it any of these three different ways. All right. So as you go through this book, first there's some ground rules to go over with the couple or couples that you're going through this material with. A lot of times we just launch into things and we have assumptions about how things go, and maybe the couple has assumptions and expectations, and sometimes we miss each other and that causes frustration. So why not just start out with some rules? Here's some things that we want to be aware of as we go through this material. Number one, this is not a gripe session. Okay, anytime you get a couple together and you start talking about their lives and communication and all the issues that happen with a couple, sometimes it turns into a gripe session or a complaining session. And the reason is, every relationship has its areas of frustration. And you go over this frustration with each other and you don't get anywhere. And now when you meet someone new, you sort of want to unload. You want to make them the judge. See, can you believe that, what this person does? And you're trying to make that third person a judge. This is not a gripe session, but instead an encouragement time. Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Okay? Number two, see the negatives in your fiancé as an opportunity to love him or her. Romans 15, 1-2. "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good and to build them up." Number three, build on your relationship and take your love for each other to the next level. Romans 15, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind, one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." Okay? So, you're not perfect. The person that you want to marry is not perfect. So, let's treat each other with some grace. Number four, when necessary, forgive each other. That, by the way, is the secret to a Christian marriage. Without forgiveness, no partnership can last. No friendship can last. And certainly no marriage can last. So learn how to forgive one another. Colossians 3:13. "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone else, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Number five, be gracious. Be cautious about a critical attitude. We want the best for people. And when we see them, making mistakes, to help them, we often want to bring up those mistakes. And this is especially true in the marriage relationship. Now, in the dating relationship, maybe you have more grace because you're dating and the person could back out of this relationship. So you're more tactful, you're more gracious. But often couples, when they get married, they stop being gracious to one another. And they can be very critical. We marry someone, and often we do it with the intention of changing them. Okay, I'm going to marry you, and there's some things I like about you, but there's some things I don't like about you, but we'll work on that. I'll change you. Well, don't go into a relationship thinking you're going to change the other person. Number six, go all in to make your marriage better. Get out of your comfort zone. So we'll be going through different areas of life, communication issues, certain things that you know, it might be a struggle, or there might be an issue, or there might be some background things, you know, how one was raised and the other was raised different. There might be some mom issues, some father issues. There's all kinds of things that you might get into, and what you want to do is tell the couple that you're trying to help as they move towards their wedding. You want them to engage. You want them to take chances. Don't hold back. Don't guard yourself. Don't try to protect your connection to it. You know we're engaged now, so we have to look like we're perfect. No. If you go into it thinking that you have to look perfect to the coach that's trying to help you, then you're going to miss out on a lot of things that you could learn. So take a few chances. Be vulnerable. Share. A Song of Songs, chapter 7. Come, my love, let us go out to the fields and spend the night among the wild flowers. Let us get up early and go to the vineyards to see if the grapevines have budded, if the blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates have bloomed. There I will give you my love. You know, this is a time to step out of your comfort zone. Number 7. Resist giving advice to others at this Bible study. So if you're doing it with a group of couples, then you really need to let all the couples know that this is not the time for you to solve another couple's problems. Okay, when you have a Bible study, or if you have a retreat and there's several couples there, some couples will share some of their issues or some of their problems. They'll put it on the table. And then what happens is other couples want to rescue and come in and solve their problems. And you start getting people being the answer man, you know. And what happens is, it's a subtle thing, but what happens is you're shutting down communication. Because if I share my heart, if I share something that's a little vulnerable to me, and then all of a sudden another couple or another guy or gal starts giving me advice, I'm less likely to share again. Because number one, the couples in this study are not the teachers. Okay? So resist giving advice to other people, especially if they've not asked for it. I mean, if they ask for advice, that's one thing. But if they haven't asked for advice, do not give advice. James 1:19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen and slow to speak. Number 8, resist teaching others about marriage. This retreat is about your potential marriage. Ecclesiastes 5:3. Too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words make you a fool. All right, I keep making the same point. All right, so let's get into the 7 connections of marriage. This is part 1, the 7 connections of marriage. And session 1 is, we are connected permanently. So that's sort of the goal of this first session with a couple. How marriage itself connects them permanently. So what you want to do, this is going to be your first session with a young couple that wants to get married. So you want to just get them talking. You don't know each other very well. You don't want to get into the real deep things yet, because the couple doesn't know you. They don't trust you. And so there has to be a little discussion. And so why not learn as much as you can about this couple as you can? So they'll be doing a lot of talking, which helps them connect to you. But as they're talking, you'll learn a lot of things about them, which will be helpful down the road. So a good opening question is, well, how did you meet? you know, tell me the story of how you met. Well, you know, we went to school together, or we were at this party, or I was at a friend's house, or this, you know, this is the sister of one of my best friends. You know, they'll tell you the story of how they met. Number two, what initially attracted you to this person? Oh, they were funny. Oh, they were cute, or they seemed like they had their life together. There'll be some reasons. And you want to hear from both of them. What attracted you to this person? What attracted you? Number three, when and why did the relationship become more serious? Okay, there's a lot of people that we get to know and meet. And so, you know, you're telling me the story of how you met and how you started dating, some of the things that you were doing, what attracted you. But now, when did this thing become more serious and why did it become more serious? What led to that? So you see, you're sort of getting into a deeper and deeper level with them. Number four, what were the highlights of your courtship time? And so ask each of them. And what you might do, because it's in a book, what I like about this is if they each have their own book, then there's that question and there's a space for them to answer it. So they write it down first. See, if they say it verbally first, then the first one goes and starts saying things and the other one can't think of anything. So this way you allow each person to think of their own thing when you get them to write it down first. So what are the highlights of your courtship time? You're trying to figure out what's important to them. You're trying to figure out what this connection is really all about. Number five, what were some of the struggles that needed to be overcome? Well, you know, we dated for a while, then I wasn't sure he was the right one, so we stopped. And they'll have some struggles. And those are very insightful because you'll get a sense of who this couple is and some of the issues that you may have to deal with down the road. Number six, what in your courtship finally led the both of you to get to the point of being engaged to be married? Okay, so something happened. Something led you to finally go, okay, we've been dating, we've been seeing each other, we've been doing this thing, we've been courting together. Now, why are we ready to get married? So you want to hear some of their reasons. All right, all of these questions are really leading up to this seventh question. This is the whole reason for this first meeting. Okay, all this talk is sort of leading up to this question. This is what it's all about. Statistics say that some 45% of all marriages end in divorce. What makes you certain that your marriage will be part of the successful 55%? Now, well, you know, I've asked this question every couple that I've met with, and every couple says, well, it's because we love each other. And then I'll say, well, every couple that's getting married will say, we love each other. Well, but we really do. I know. And every couple I ever meet with, they always say that too. We really do. We're different from other couples. Every couple is different. Or they'll say, you know, we've been through some tough things and we've figured out a way through those things. I say, you know, people say that all the time. Every couple had some tough thing that they went through and they successfully made it through. Or they'll say, you know, we just enjoy talking together. Well, every couple enjoys talking together. That's why they want to get married. See, no matter what they say, and every couple thinks they're so unique in this, but after, you know, 30-some years of doing this, every couple says the same thing. They all get along. They all, but we are uniquely together and we love doing some of the same things and on and on and on. And I just keep knocking them down. I keep saying, yeah, well, every couple thinks that. And yet 45% of every couple that thinks exactly like how you think, they're wrong. Their marriage ends in divorce. So what makes you think that you're the same as all these other couples. So what makes you think you will be in the top 55%? Well, a lot of times a couple will at some point just give up and say, I guess you can't know. Now, some of them will say that, and some of them will figure it out. Okay, the answer that I'm looking for as a coach is, well, because our marriage is not going to be based on how well we love each other, or how well we get along, or the fact that, you know, we solved a few problems in the past, or that we like doing these things together, because those things could change. Our marriage is going to last because when we get married and we say, I do, we are going to rest that promise on a prior promise, our commitment to God. We are going to rest our commitment to each other on the most significant relationship that we both have, and that's our relationship to God. We're putting our hand on the Bible. You know, when someone goes to court, they have to lift, they raise their right hand, I promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, and they got their left hand on the Bible. And we do that in the court system because we want to know, are you really going to tell the truth? And we don't know if you're telling the truth until you put that truth on some other commitment, a stronger commitment. So a marriage commitment, if it's going to be permanent, has to be established, resting on something that is permanent, the God connection. So what kind of commitment do each of you have to God? So ultimately, that's what you're telling them. Now, you know, some couples figure out what the answer is, and some couples don't. And if a couple doesn't figure out what the answer is, I don't try to shame them or make them feel bad. What I do is I just share my own experience. I say, you know, when I got married, we liked each other, we got along, you know, that's why we wanted... All those compatible issues are the reasons why we want to get married, but they're not the reasons why we stay married. Because those things can change. And if our marriage is built on those things and those things change, then, you know, that's why people opt out of their marriage. But it's not built on that. So when I finally stood in front of my wife in a church, in front of my family and friends, and God, the Holy Spirit, everything is there, I vowed to be committed to her. And I based that vow on my commitment to Jesus Christ. I have to give up my faith to give up my commitment to my wife. So I didn't know that my relationship with her would last until that moment when I made the commitment based on my commitment to God. That's when I knew. Because I'm not going to let my relationship to Christ fail. Number two, how might you base your commitment to each other on your prior commitment to God? So now you're getting the couple to think about their commitment. What kind of commitment do you have to God? If you don't have much of a commitment to God, then your commitment to each other based on your commitment to God isn't going to do much. So this is the most important thing, and I like to start out with that most important thing. That your vows are the number one thing in this whole process of getting married. So, you know, I'm asking the couple now to think about that. What is your commitment to God? Because that's what your marriage is built on. It's not built on how compatible we are. Because those things change. You could go on the honeymoon and you can get into a car accident and now your spouse is paralyzed from the neck down. And all the fun things that you used to do, you can't do anymore. Everything has changed. Are you still going to be committed? Is it based on those things? Or is it based on your relationship to God? Well, that's session number one.